you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft. Play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new, free, and very cool fantasy NFL game. The first contest, it's live right now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. Play amateur GM and have a ball doing it.
It's 4 weeks today, Vic. I'm calling you Deke.
That's okay.
We've been together now 3 days this week. That's a natural habit.
It is.
4 weeks today, the draft.
Four weeks.
Right, this is the opening round.
Because it's the 8th, but so I guess it was 4 weeks.
Hey, Vic, I want to say one thing before we go back to a couple of telephone calls. Throw this out.
Please.
I don't think people should worry about if Alex Mack comes back here and people, the natural thing that might stick in people's minds is, oh, does he really want to be here now? I think this guy is a great pro.
Yeah.
So, and I think he really does like it here. I think this whole situation has been afforded to him through his contract and years of service in the NFL. But there is no doubt in my mind that if Alex Mack comes back here, he's all in. I just think that's the way he plays.
I think once the business is done, the business is done.
Sure.
That's what I feel. I don't think there should be a lingering thing, and I don't think he would take it that way, as you say, based on knowing the guy.
Sure.
John in Kirtland joins us now. Hey, John.
You know, Jimmy just stole my thunder. I was going to say the same thing. Once we sign him, I think all this will be forgotten.
I do too.
And he'll give us 100%. One more thing. I've been a longtime Browns listener. I listen to Gibb Shanley and I listen to Nev Chandler, and I think Jimmy does a great job. And we haven't lost a beat when it comes to that.
Good stuff, John. I couldn't agree with you more. Chance in Garfield Heights with us now. Hey, Chance.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing?
Good, Chance.
Hey, I just had a question and a statement. Kind of piggyback off what you guys said. I think once the contract's done, everything will be fine, of course. But has anybody released the exact details of the contract? I know there's a lot of word about it being loaded up the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm, right.
Do you guys have the details?
As of right now, all I've had is what we've talked about, Chance, and if you didn't catch it, basically, what we understand, according to multiple media reports, 5 years, averaging $9 million per year, and that the first 2 years basically are guaranteed to the tune of about $20 million, and that after year two, which would be the 2015 season, he would be free, Mack would be free to walk, whether it's from the Jaguars or the Browns, if they're the ones that match.
And I think once he signs it, Chance, then many, many more of the specifics will be available to everybody.
Vince in Cincinnati with us now. Hello, Vince.
You doing?
Good.
I think the offer to Alex Mack is really a total disrespect. I mean, he's a Pro Bowler, and the only reason you are giving him a contract is because another team signing to one. I mean, you had the opportunity right at home to do it. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Well, just for the record, they made an effort to sign him. Now, he rejected what they offered. I am of the understanding, I don't have the details, but I trust who told me this, that what they were trying to sign him to was aggressive, was an offer that would have put him, you know, in the same neighborhood as these highest paid centers. The highest paid center in the league is Khalil for Carolina.
Ryan Khalil,
making $8 million
plus.
So, as I understood it, the Browns were close enough or in that range enough that they believed they were going full out to make an offer that he would accept. He didn't. So when that happens, Vince, the things take their course, and the logic behind saying, okay, we couldn't satisfy you with our offer, you go out and find a better one, and you're determined to do that, and this is his representatives. This isn't just Alex. His representative is saying this too. So you go out there, and that's just what apparently happened, and I keep saying apparently because as we speak right now, we don't know that he has actually received this, signed this. It's being reported that he's on the verge of doing this, and then when he does officially, as Jim was saying, okay, that's what the Browns get to ponder and decide if they want to match 5 days worth to think about that.
Hey, Vic, here's another thing too. Yeah. And I, you know, this is all in the negotiating thing, but you sit down with Alex Mack, and he has been now to two Pro Bowls, and that's great. But this is a football team that could not run the ball last year. This is a football team that could not score last year. Now, I'm not saying it's all on him, but I think the Browns, and as you termed their contract negotiations with him as being aggressive, I would also say very open-minded, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's not like this was a dominating offensive line. Now, I'm not blaming him, but I'm thinking that they offered him a lot of money, even to sign the transition tag. It's over $10 million.
Right.
This is not this was not a dominating offensive line that you would say, hey, listen, cannot live without this guy. Okay, we got to have this guy. This guy dominates every week. Now, to the naked eye, I don't think anybody says, I think we all say he's a really good player that has gone to two Pro Bowls. So I don't think there's any slap in the face to Alex Mack towards the Browns' fault at all. I think they tried to get a deal done. They all boarded a plane. They went out there to visit with him to try and tell him, this is what we are. This is what we're going to be. This is all negotiations
now. And I think the consensus I have is, you're putting more of this on, say, Mac's representative and Mac versus the Browns sort of pussyfooting their efforts, because they're not doing that, according to everything that we could see. How about Bob in New York? What do you got, Bob? Bob, you with us?
Every day.
Okay.
And as a Clevelander living in New York for the last 30-plus years, I really appreciate
what
streaming gives us and what you guys give us and how we can stay connected to the Browns. So thank you on that point. Hmm. I think the Browns are exactly where they expected to be.
Sure.
I when they transitioned them, there were two scenarios. One, he would take it right away, or two, he would shop around a little bit. So what's coming back is, I think, one of the results they logically would have expected, which is someone makes them an offer, they look at what's on the table and decide whether they want to match it. If it's $9 million a year, less than what they're going to pay him this year, if he had taken the tag deal, then I think they've got to be pretty happy with that. Whether he has an out after 2 years or 3 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's something to really worry about today. But in this day and age, I think centers are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read a lot about this. There's some really good stuff out there. But the value of centers, there have been six taken in the first round in the last 10 years.
Right.
So, obviously, teams are putting a little bit more of a premium on that position, and there are some arguing it's more important because of the way offenses are spread out now and the way the centers have to make calls at the line than even a tackle.
No, it's vital. Thank you for the call, Bob, very much. It's vital. You got to have a smart guy, obviously a physically talented guy, but someone who really orchestrates all that you're doing with the line. And, again, when you're transitioning to another blocking scheme, mm-hmm. I think even more important. All right, Nathan Zagura had a chance to sit down with defensive lineman Billy Winn. Let's give that a listen.
Here with Billy Winn. Billy, welcome back to the building. Excited to be back
to
work?
Yeah, definitely. I was getting bored. You know, I was waiting for everything to get started again.
This is a good defense for a defensive lineman like yourself. How excited are you to work under Coach Patton and, of course, Coach O'Neill?
Oh, I'm really excited. You know, this gives everybody an opportunity to go out there and make plays and attack and, you know, really exploit yourself.
Well, I'm sure you're doing some attacking in the off season. What's the most fun you had out there away from football?
I actually picked up a new hobby. I started shooting guns.
Okay. I'm going to take a step back if you don't mind.
No, I picked up that and, you know, just hanging out around here, getting to know the place a little bit well, you know, and just, you know, focusing on what I need to do to, you know, to excel at my position.
How do you feel about the vibe in here this year? Is it different? Are you excited? And what are your expectations?
There's a lot of focus. You know, a lot of guys, you know, in meetings, everybody's just taking notes. You know, this is day two, and guys are in there taking notes and really honing in on the details.
All right. Well, welcome back, Billy. Excited to see you get back to work.
Thank you.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you to Billy Winn and Nathan Zagura for that chat. Coming up, we are going to get into the thinking of the head coach. And that, of course, is Mike Pettine, because our own Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, had a chance to sit down with Pettine. They got a really in-depth conversation that has turned into an article that is posted right now on ClevelandBrowns.com. We urge you to check that out along with the rest of our great content there as you of course, check out this show and other elements there as well. That's coming up on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4, Jim Donovan, Vic Carucci. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.